Victoria looks set to become the first state in Australia to legalise assisted dying for the terminally ill. After a marathon 28-hour debate, the state's upper house voted in favour of the contentious legislation 22 votes to 18. The bill will now return to the lower house. If passed, it will allow terminally ill patients suffering intolerable pain to access a lethal drug, but only after two independent medical assessments. Our reporter Claire Slattery has been at the Victorian Parliament this afternoon watching proceedings and joins us now. Claire, what was the mood like when the vote passed?
Well, Dom, as you mentioned there, just after 4 o'clock this afternoon, MPs voted 22 to 18 in favour of the government's voluntary assisted dying bill. Members of the chamber and the public gallery aren't allowed to cheer or clap, but there was certainly plenty of tears and hugs as the third reading took place, including some pats on the back for an emotional Special Minister of State, Gavin Jennings, who had patiently and tirelessly steered the legislation through the upper house. Looking on in the gallery were advocates from both sides, including members of pro-euthanasia groups Dying with Dignity and Go Gentle Australia, Andrew Denton and Dr. Rodney Syme, and the Australian Christian Lobby's Dan Flynn. This sitting began at midday yesterday and sat all through last night and into this afternoon, and all up the upper house clocked more than 60 hours of debate on this piece of legislation after another all-night sitting last week. Let's hear now from a moment right before the final vote took place from one vocal opponent, Liberal MP Inga Powlich, followed by the Special Minister of State, Gavin Jennings.
And many weaknesses in this legislation, and I think we are entering some very uncharted waters, and this legislation needs to be monitored very carefully. I think its consequences could be very dramatic for the most vulnerable and the most at risk, those from multicultural communities, people with mental disabilities, mental illnesses, and indeed people with disabilities.
From this generation onwards, people will remember this day for a different reason, and that's the reason that this chamber, this parliament, has accepted this important legislative reform. Reform that many people have fought with great determination, humanity and compassion for many years.
That's Victoria's Special Minister of State, Gavin Jennings. And before that, we heard from Inga Powlich from the Victorian Opposition. Claire, how was it that this debate was able to go on for so long?
Well, Dom, there were 141 clauses in this piece of legislation, and opponents were determined to pick apart each one word by word and line by line. It's been clear for the duration that opponents didn't have the numbers to ultimately block the bill, but this didn't stop them from doing everything they could to make it as hard as possible for the government. While supporters accused them of filibustering, the opponents argued they were highlighting as a matter of public record that this was a deeply flawed piece of legislation, and they were trying to move amendments to strengthen its loopholes. In just the course of today, for example, we've heard about what should be written on the death certificates of those who end their lives using voluntary assisted dying. We've heard concerns about what training would be given to medical students on voluntary assisted dying. We've heard questions about the membership and selection of the board that will oversee voluntary assisted dying, and more about what limits on coercion and inducement of the terminally ill to access voluntary assisted dying. And there's been some low points in the debate too, including supporters of the bill being likened to Nazis, and famously one Labor MP being taken to hospital last week after he collapsed during another marathon sitting. There have been dozens of attempts, I believe more than 50, to legalise euthanasia in Australia since the 1990s in states and territories. But what's different this time is the incredibly lengthy and rigorous process Victoria's gone through, which began more than 2 years ago to formulate this legislation. So the Premier, Daniel Andrews, can claim a pretty big victory today. Here he is on the steps of State Parliament a short time ago.
This is Victoria at its best, leading our nation. That is what our great state has always done, and I am proud to lead a government and to lead a state that has been bold enough not just to do the easy things, but to do the really important stuff that all too often is quite difficult as well. That, in my judgment, is what leadership is all about. And to all of my colleagues and to all of those who have assisted us in this work and to all of those who have run this campaign and fought so effectively for this reform. Thank you very, very much.
Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews. So what happens next?
Well, even though passing the upper house was the biggest hurdle for the passage of this legislation, it's not actually the final obstacle. To make it law, it must now go back to the lower house with the amendments for one final tick of approval. It's expected to do so next week and to pass there easily. The scheme would then not be implemented until June 2019, with a special task force to work on implementation throughout next year. Interestingly, that's also an election year, and opponents of voluntary assisted dying are already promising to make this an election issue to get this law repealed. Let's hear now a bit of reaction from the steps of State Parliament from those for and against. First is Greens MP Colleen Hartland, followed by Frances Beaumont from Defining Our Dying.
Now we can look people in the face who have terminal cancer and tell them they have a choice, that they don't have to suffer in those last weeks. We've all had friends and families who have had the most excruciating deaths. Now we can give them real relief.
I'm really distressed by the result. I'm a nurse of over 30 years. I have patients who are scared by this result, and I don't think it's the role of the state to be killing its citizens. I think it is misplaced compassion to be making the vulnerable more vulnerable, and it is not a free choice. It is not voluntary when palliative care is not properly funded and resourced.
Frances Beaumont from Defining Our Dying, and before that, Greens MLC Colin Hartland, and Claire Slattery reporting there on an historic day in the Victorian Upper House.